everybody. Welcome to Victory Life Church. This is our midweek service, and I'm excited about sharing today and being with you. I appreciate what God has done in our church and this particular format. We're at all of our locations, and each city will be, I believe, transformed and touched by the Word of God. So those of you that are a part of our locations, thank you for being the church. Thank you for being a servant in this hour. I just want to share a couple of quick things before I get into the message itself. If you have a Bible, and I pray you do, or a device, it'd be nice if you could read along with me. We may at the end read this together, this chapter in the Bible, but it's Psalms 23. Psalms 23. I want to minister from that psalm here in a moment, but before I jump into that, again, I can't wait to see all of you again live. I'm excited about that coming up and where God's taking us. And I just really believe great things are not only happening in our hearts individually, but in the ministry. And so I'm excited about us being able to publicly gather together again soon. But until then, let me encourage you that a year ago this month, we that are in leadership received a word from the Lord of a coming storm. And there's no doubt in my mind, this is definitely a storm of great magnitude, even worldwide. And so God has prepared us. God has led us into certain topics during that year that would help prepare us for this time. One of the series I did was Better Together. That's a series on marriage, and we called it Overcoming the Storms of Life. And you need to review those things. Take this time and this downtime to go back and go over some of those messages, because one of the words God gave us as a church was to strengthen our marriages. And so this is a time that we need to be continually working on that. Another thing is our children. Let me encourage you with your children to minister to your children. Take the time to pray with them, just simple prayers of faith. There's no need for them to be filled with fear. There's no need for them to have any sense of panic or things of that nature. As a parent, just share the Word of God. Share the love of Jesus with them and simple prayers. A good scripture that I'd love to see all of us teach our children and that they can quote, it's easy for them to remember, is 2 Timothy 1:7. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power. We have power in God to overcome anything. Of love, we have God's love for us and each other in any crisis. And then a sound mind. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Teach your children that. Pray that with them at night before they go to bed. And so I believe that'll be an encouragement to them as well. Let me also say I did a series on overloaded. Let me encourage you to go back and review that material, because I deal with worry and stress and anxiety and how the heart can be overloaded. I may revisit some of those things depending on where this goes and where the Lord leads, but I do want to encourage you to go back over that series, Overloaded, because the heart can only take so much and in so much, especially all this negativity and overreacting. And we have to stay focused in the goodness of God, focused in the will of God, and in the Word of God. Your mind can absolutely get away with you if you don't know how to control it during times of crisis, during times of a national emergency. That storm and lightning and thunder of uncontrolled thoughts of what if, what about, and questions bombarding your mind can create unnecessary anxiety, stress, and worry. God doesn't want that for you, His people. So, Overloaded is the name of the series. I believe that'll help you during this time. Well, let's talk about Psalms 23. And to many of us, many of you watching, I'm sure, many of you that are a part of this ministry, I bet you could probably testify that Psalms 23 is one of your favorite psalms as well. It seems like it's everybody's favorite. And it also has been mine over the years. And as I walk through challenges of life, as I've been through certain crisis of my own, and us as a church going through different kinds of crisis, Psalms 23 has always been a comfort to me. It's been something I pray. It's something I meditate in. It's something that I look to in time of need. Recently, I've gone through a trial, a fiery trial of my faith, and Psalms 23 was a vital part of that. I can remember as far back as 2 decades ago when we went through Y2K, how Psalms 23 was a comfort to me. All the other different coronaviruses, the swine flu, the bird flu, Ebola, on and on we could go with all these different, if you will, viruses that we've all faced and had to overcome. Psalms 23 is just one of those psalms that you need to be praying. I recommend you pray it with your kids. At the end of the message, I would love for all of us to quote it together. And hopefully your children are assembled with you for our midweek service. And I believe it'll be a ministry to them as I walk us through this. This is a psalm of David, and David was known as the shepherd king. You think about David's life, the writer of Psalms 23, as a young boy, he was a shepherd and a faithful shepherd and a diligent, skilled shepherd, and then he became king. And when you read this, I'll read it here in a moment, we'll go all the way through it, then we'll break it down verse by verse, you're going to see that Jesus is a shepherd to us. Jesus is the chief shepherd. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, he called him the chief shepherd that's going to come back. Many of the allegories in Scripture, many of the illustrations of Jesus and how he's betrayed is that of a shepherd, and we the people of God as sheep. And so we serve, if you will, one of the titles of Jesus, the Shepherd King. He is the Shepherd King. And again, David was like this image of Christ. David was like this profile, if you will, of the coming Shepherd King that would be the great one. And so his heart just explodes with the heart of the shepherd. And so let's read this in Psalms 23. And I'm gonna read from the King James Bible because that's the translation that I have used most of my Christian life. And so it's near and dear to me in this particular psalm. When I've prayed it out of the King James Bible most of my life, adult life. Notice verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. Wow. Again, to me, that's awesome. And I want to believe God with you and pray with you that this would become the song of your heart, that this would become the meditation of your mind in times of trouble that we're facing. Because again, Jesus is described here as a shepherd and the heart of a shepherd. And we are, if you will, described as sheep. And when you think of those two, it's amazing how that works in Scripture and in our daily walk with the Lord. You know, I've been around farm animals my whole life. I have friends, literally, that have sheep, and they own sheep. And they'll be the first to tell you that they're not the smartest animal on the farm. And I'm not trying to be derogatory toward us as sheep, but the bottom line is we're not as bright many times as we think we are. And we need the Lord. We need the Lord's wisdom. We need the Lord's guidance. We need the Lord to lead us and humble ourselves under his mighty hand as sheep. And so Jesus here is described as the shepherd, as the shepherd. Now, remember the shepherd in biblical times was not the highest or most glorified, if you will, social position. These weren't the jobs most sought after and if you will, praised in the community. And on we could go with, it wasn't the highest social position being a shepherd. And yet Jesus is described here as a shepherd. The shepherd led the sheep. The shepherd fed the sheep. And the shepherd protected the sheep. These are the things that portray Jesus and that we need to understand as we walk through this season as the people of God, and we're there for our family, friends, and our communities. We need to know Jesus is the chief shepherd, and that like the shepherds of old, the shepherds lived with the sheep many times. They had to be with the sheep during and weathering the storms that came. Sheep are congregational. Sheep are like a herd animal. They want to be in flocks together. And a lot of studies have shown that sheep actually get nervous when they're alone. They're a community type animal, and when they're separated from the flock, they tend to stress. Literal, if you will, scientific studies have proven that they literally stress out. During a storm, they panic and they can hurt themselves. When you think of sheep, they're defenseless against predators. They don't have any fangs, they don't have any claws. And so the shepherd was vital to the sheep. The sheep depended upon the shepherd. The sheep needed the shepherd. And as sheep today, we may think we're equipped for what we're facing as a nation. We may think we're wise enough to get through all of this. We may think that we can wing it, if you will, even on our own. And yet the truth of the matter is, we need the chief shepherd. We need Jesus as our shepherd, and we need one another. And we need Jesus to calm, if you will, the storm. We're in a storm. This is what God told us a year ago was coming, was this storm. And we're certainly in it. But I'm telling you, Jesus is our shepherd, the chief shepherd. So let's walk through this psalm and let's glean some things from it that can help us individually and be the meditation of our heart, but it can also help us minister to our children. I really believe this would be a great psalm. While our children are not in school and while we're able to be with them more because of all the shutdowns and, if you will, quarantines that are happening throughout our cities, this is a time to be with our family. This is a time to firm up our sure foundation, the Word of God, if you will, Jesus Himself. And so let's go through this together, verse by verse. Verse 1, Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because of who Jesus is, notice the Lord is my shepherd, and because of who He is to me, I shall not want, I shall not lack. This is the mindset God wants to establish. This is the stronghold that's a positive stronghold that God wants to develop in each and every heart, in each and every mind within the sound of my voice, is because of who Jesus is, I will not lack. Psalms chapter 34, verse 10 says that the young lions do hunger, or the young lions do lack and hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. They that seek the Lord shall not want, shall not lack any good thing. Now watch this. Why do the young lions hunger and why do the young lions lack? Because see, the source for the young lion is the mother lion, and she is restricted to merely natural resources. And many times those natural resources are not in abundance. Many times she's not successful in acquiring those resources, in hunting, but her cubs, the young lions, depend on the mother lion, if you will, to protect them, to lead them, and to feed them. And she's restricted to natural resources. I've got good news about the Lord that is my shepherd. I've got good news about the Lord that is your shepherd. He is not restricted to natural resources. All of heaven's resources are available to Him as our chief shepherd. All of the supernatural power of God is available to Him, and that's what keeps us from not lacking. He is the source now of everything we need. He is all we need in this crisis as far as being led and fed and, if you will, protected. God, like the shepherds of the Bible that were with the sheep during storms, with the sheep throughout night and night, if you will, fall, Jesus is with us in our darkest hour. Jesus is with us no matter what we go through. Jesus will never leave or forsake you as the great shepherd. He is the God that is with us. He is the God that is among us. He is the God that came and entered into human suffering and suffered with us, and he suffered for us, especially our sins and our sicknesses and our poverty. And so the chief shepherd, you and I need to confess this. We need to be praying this, maybe just saying it as you meditate on it throughout your day, is the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He is with me in and through the storms of life. The shepherd didn't forsake the sheep in a storm. When the sheep were, if you will, uncomfortable, when the sheep were worried, when the sheep were jumpy from the storm and the lightning and the thunder, the shepherd would never leave them. The shepherd comforted them. And Jesus is no different. This is one of the things that Mark and Matthew brought out in regards to Jesus being with us in a storm. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus was with the disciples when a storm arose and nearly sank the boat. But he was asleep on a pillow in the boat. I just love all that. He is not stressed out over any storm. He is not anxious. He's not worried. He's not filled with fear of any kind. And yet they were filled with fear. They didn't know how to relate to the storm. Let me just say this in regards to that story that may not fit perfectly, but one of the things the Lord showed me years ago is just because the Lord is in the boat with us doesn't mean we're not going to have storms. Yes, Jesus is in my heart. Jesus is in my life. Jesus is in your heart if you've made him Lord of your life. And just his presence and you being united to him doesn't now eliminate storms. Doesn't make us a no storm zone, free from storm zone in life. No, we go through storms. I've personally gone through many storms. My family has gone through many storms. Our church has gone through many storms. Our country is right now going through a tremendous storm, but the Lord hadn't forsook us. The Lord hadn't left us. The Lord is on board with us. Now, they did have to wake him, but once they turned to him, once they began to look to him, even in their fears, he is the God that can calm any storm in your life. He's the God that can calm any storm in your heart, any storm in your mind. Any of these lightning and thundering of what ifs that are arrayed against you and clouds of doubt that are trying to gather against you, creating the perfect storm in your own mind, which is what worry and anxiety is. It's meditating on all that could happen that's bad, not interpreting what's happening in the proper perspective from God's view. All those things create this anxiety, worry, and stress. But you need to know, and your children need to know, our church must know God is with us in the boat, and he has authority and power over the storm. The second illustration is in Matthew 14. The disciples are going through another storm in a boat, and Jesus isn't in the boat this time, but he's walking on water. And so we see again, though, the comfort of a God who's in control in any storm, a God that's greater than any storm. And what's cool about that story, and there's so many things in Peter calling out to the Lord. They were afraid. They weren't sure it was the Lord. If it's you, bid me come. Jesus said, it is I. Come. And Peter jumps out of the boat, and the Bible says he walked on water. And it wasn't until he took his eyes off the Lord that he began to sink. So this is an hour to look to the Lord, our shepherd. This is an hour to know he's the chief shepherd. And he's the one that calms the storm. Watch this now. And after Matthew 14, he's the one that invites us to walk on the water with him in the storm. Jesus wants to share his victory over storms with you and I. He wants us to individually experience his presence during a storm, experience his presence and comfort during times of trouble. And that's what's taking place. And I just pray that this first verse ring near and dear to your heart. The Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Number two, or verse two, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Notice that God is leading us into green pastures. He's leading us into places of abundance. I know this is challenging for all of us. I know this is a time that it's easy to get your eyes off of the Lord. But you need to understand, God is leading us through this fire. He's leading us through the water. And he doesn't want this fire to kindle upon us. And he certainly doesn't want the water to overtake us. He's taking us somewhere. He's taking your family somewhere. Where is he taking you? To green pastures. He's not taking you and bringing you into failure or defeat or lack or any poverty or sickness now and disease. Jesus is carrying us. Jesus is taking us and leading us, and he makes us lie down. I like that. He makes us. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. The place we lay down in is the place of abundance. The place that Jesus lies us down, he puts us down. He says, here's where I want you to stay, is in the green pastures. He wants us to go through the storm. He wants us to weather the storm to get to the green pastures and the stilled waters. I was told by someone who had sheep one time that sheep don't like to drink water that's rapid and like a river or a creek, that the water's moving rapid and the noise it creates, it makes them jumpy, but they like the little pools of water, the still water. Jesus is leading us into places where we can drink the stilled water of the kingdom of God. And I believe that is what is happening and God wills for each and every one of us. So it's green pastures, it's stilled waters. He leadeth me by those. Look at verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Let that sink in for a minute. He restoreth my soul. See, the soul is what can get shook in a storm. Your thoughts, your mind, your will, your emotions, your thought processes. That's what gets hit and shook in a storm. Your spirit doesn't get shook in a storm. My spirit doesn't get shook in a storm. Our spirit is united to the Lord. Our spirit is strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our spirit is just filled with the presence of Jesus. It's our mind that gets under assault when a storm hits. And so this psalm is promising we have a God that restores our soul. That you may be shook. You may have gotten shook. You may still be shaken. Some of you might be shaken right now. I don't know. But we serve the God that restores your soul. He is the one that arrests your thoughts when you turn to him. He is the one that renews your mind as you give him your mind. He is the one that writes on the tablets of your mind his word, writes on the tablets of your mind his will, writes on the tablets of your mind his love for you. What God calls each and every one of us to do is to give him the tablets of our mind. And like on Mount Sinai, when the finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments on stone, God's finger is on the inside of us. And he wants to write his promises on our soul, our emotions, etc., etc., our thoughts, our processes, and how to see things from God's view. So he leads us into these places. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm excited that no matter what happens, God's people are going to do the right thing. I'm excited about the leadership for our church. I'm excited about that campus pastor and the commitment that they have and the life that we've lived together and the walk we've had and the storms we've endured. that I'm confident in my heart, you're going to do the right thing as a leader. You're going to walk in the paths of righteousness. Jesus is going to lead us in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. He wants to glorify his name during these challenging times. He wants to lead you and I in the right path. He wants to glorify himself in the midst of all this darkness and all this, if you will, derangement that is taking place in our culture. Look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. My goodness, that is over the top. That's one of my favorite verses within this chapter is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice that I'm walking through something to something. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm getting to green pastures and stilled waters. That's where I dwell. That's where Jesus meets me and with me, and I live. Every trial is temporary. Every crisis we've faced over the decades that I've been alive in this country, we got through it. It came to pass. This will one day pass. That's why it's so important. Look at me. Listen to me carefully. It's so important that we renew our minds during this time. I think it was important that we prepared for this time because God said it was coming. But what if we weren't diligent? What if we weren't what we ought to be and do the things we should have done? Now's the time to get our foundation laid. Now's the time to get our faith strengthened, because just as sure as this passes, I promise you something else is going to come. And we need to learn to get through it to the green pastures that God has for us in the still water. So, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Wow, I've been there a couple of times. Recently, I truly have walked through the valley of the shadow of death. A shadow has no substance. A shadow is real, but it can't hurt you. It can't harm you. It has no substance to it. And Jesus is painting death here for us as sheep. He as our shepherd. He's telling us that, look, death for us is but a shadow. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And Jesus has delivered us from both of those. And what Jesus did on the cross, praise be to his name, is he didn't just bear my sins and my sicknesses. He bore God's punishment for all that. He took the substance of death on our behalf, but on the third day he rose again. He is alive. And we're coming into that season of celebration here real soon. And I'm excited about it, because death for you and I has no sting. There's no substance to it. Jesus took the sting out by bearing sin on the cross, and the grave is not final word. We have now even authority over the grave, and the grave doesn't have the final answer. Jesus has conquered hell, death, and the grave, and he did it for you, he did it for me. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This recent crisis I went through, I was just overwhelmed at the peace of God that was with me through the whole thing. How I had no fear. I had no fear. I was totally void of fear and just had this peace that's beyond communicating. And so I know what that valley looks like. I know that I went through it and out on the other side. And in my case, God's not through with me. In my case, I'm still here because I have more work to do. God left me here to be a blessing to you. God left me here to be an encouragement to you, to be a source of strength for you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's God's presence with us in all of this that strengthens us. Thou art with me. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now think about that. God has a rod. Jesus has a rod and a staff as the chief shepherd. Throughout Scripture, the rod, like the rod of Moses, was a symbol of authority. And Moses had to stretch forth his rod when they saw the Red Sea split. and God's power released, because that rod represented man's authority, and it took God's power with man's authority in order to see heaven and earth kiss, heaven and earth meet, heaven, if you will, invade earth. And so that rod represents authority. And Jesus is a man. He's God, yes, very God, really God. But he's man, very, very man. And he has a rod. So what comforts me is Jesus' authority, that he has power and authority. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. We're anointed by God with this oil, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Our cup is running over with new wine, the wine of the Holy Spirit. He prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. In Colossians 1:13, the Bible declares we've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But it did say we've been delivered from the presence of our enemies. We have enemies all around, and coronavirus is just one of many enemies we fight every day and that we overcome every day and that Jesus is Lord of every day. He prepares a table for us. What's on the table? I believe that we feed on him during these times. We feed on his flesh. We drink his blood. We feed on his promises, on his word. His word is bread to us, Matthew 4:4. It's milk to us, Peter talked about. And so it's the word of God that's on that table and we're feeding on it. It's God, it's Jesus, and feeding on his very life. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, surely, not you never know, not maybe, not I doubt it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Viruses aren't following you. God's goodness and mercy, they're the hounds of heaven that are following you. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just on the weekend, not just once a month, all the days of my life. And we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, again, my time got away from me supernaturally fast. And so I just want to encourage you to read this to your children, to pray it, to make it a part of your discipline. And I believe, again, it'll help you. It'll comfort you in time of need. Let me just end with this. Our weekend service is coming up, and we're dedicating this weekend's offering to our communities. Each location will receive the offering for this weekend, and we're going to sow the whole offering into our communities. We need to act on our faith. We need to believe God for finances for our church. Well, how do you do that? You sow a seed. What kind of seed? Precious seed. Right now, the church needs finances just like everybody else needs finances. But we're going to sow a seed. We're going to be a servant to our community. And so prepare your hearts for that. As you give this weekend, know that every dime will go into some type of serving of our community. So give it cheerfully. Give it in faith, knowing that we are doing a good thing, a God thing, that Jesus is leading us in this. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that you are, in Jesus, our chief shepherd. I thank you that you are with us, never to leave or forsake us. I thank you that no matter what we go through, we're headed for green pastures and still water. I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and any tongue that rises up in judgment against the servants of the Lord, we can condemn it, and our righteousness is of you, God. Thank you for our right standing with you and our ability to rebuke these things, to stand against these things, and to be a blessing everywhere we go. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our lives, and we're going to dwell in your house, God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys.